This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
David Culley, he met with the media yesterday. You mentioned Tyrod Taylor, Seth, and whether or not he's going to play this weekend. He was reactivated yesterday from the injured list. Here was David Culley on how the reps are going to be divvied up this week at the quarterback position.
We'll designate him as a return. As far as the status for the game, that's still up in the air right now. Davis will get the reps today. Tyrod, we're just easing him back into practice just to see where he's at. Tyrod's a veteran. He's been around here. He doesn't have to have all the reps. Davis needs the reps. If Davis is going to be playing this week as our starting quarterback, and right now he is, if Tyrod cannot go, he's going to be the quarterback. Tyrod doesn't have to have those reps. If we knew Tyrod was healthy to play going into this week, then he would get those reps. As we move into the week, we feel good about where Tyrod is at, then we'll give him some of his reps. But him being a veteran quarterback, that's not an issue.
All right, so it sounds like Davis Mills is going to start on Sunday against the Rams. That's what I'm hearing from David Culley right there. So if you were looking for a more watchable product offensively.
Yeah, I was wondering, what I'm really looking forward to, Sean, yeah, more than anything in this game, was during the game on Sunday, I was thinking, like, wow, Max Sharping looks pretty bad versus J.J. Watt. How would he be versus J.J. Watt in his prime? And now I get to see it this week.
Yes.
Versus Aaron Donald. I'm in a deep state of denial that I get to go to NRG Stadium and watch the Texans take on the Rams this weekend. With a reborn Matt Stafford as well. I hope that the Texans do what Dan Campbell did last week versus a far superior opponent, which was just go balls out, you know, just go for the win. You're either going to get crushed or you're going to have a fighting chance. So just go ahead and do as many onside kicks as possible, going for it on fourth down as much as possible, but don't lose your nerve. Don't, like, go for it on fourth a couple times to where the game is close and you're like, oh, well, we rescued our dignity, we'll be just fine. Like, no, I want to see you going for it on fourth and eight from your own 20. Yeah. I want to see a balls to the wall effort at actually trying to pull off this upset. Damn it.
Yeah, Seth, I want to see all the things that you want to see. All those things you just listed, I think, are very valid things to want to see. Baby steps. You know what I'd like to see? A throw down the field further than 10 yards. How about that? How about you throw more than two passes per game beyond 20 yards? And then we'll worry about going forward on fourth and eight and onside kicking and fake punting like that. This team is so conservative with Davis Mills right now. Culley was saying yesterday that he was talking about hey, Ben, give me Culley one here. Here's Culley explaining the lack of explosive plays offensively for this team.
No, we're trying to get those explosive plays. We just haven't done that. And again, being behind the chains have also had an effect on how we approach getting the ball down the field. If we had stayed above the chains in first and second downs a lot more than what we had been, we'd be getting the ball down the field. But we're trying to get back to manageable situations and more so than trying to get the ball down the field.
Okay, Seth, now you tell me if I'm just being a very basic average Joe looking at football. What I heard there was, hey, when it's second and 16, it's much more important for us to get 8 yards to get into third and eight than it is to, you know, try to maybe get 16 yards and get the first down.
Yeah, it's a classic.
Okay.
Like, remember.
Am I off base? You're the former player. Am I off base on this?
No. Remember how depressed everybody got when the Texans signed Shane Leckler, and, you know, he showed up and, wow, Leckler can really boot it. And Schaub got up in a press conference and said, like, yeah, it sure is nice, you know, when it's third and long to realize, like, oh, you know what? We don't necessarily have to get the first down here because you got a guy that can kick your way out. Like, wait, no. It means that you can just go for it,
right?
because Leckler can still boot your way out of trouble. Yeah, it's a worldview, Sean. It's a worldview of this fear of coaches at something going wrong. They're so much more fixated on the possibility of something going wrong that sometimes it skews their whole rationale about the way they see the world. It's like when a team has a ball with a minute left at the end of a half, and they're like, yeah, we'll just kneel on it. I don't want something bad to happen.
Yeah.
Bad to happen? What the hell are you even playing this game for? Something bad happens every damn down on an NFL play.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does bother me. It's the same thing. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No. I was going to say, spoken like a head coach who thinks that if you don't turn the ball over, you automatically win the football game.
It's the same thing that leads to an old Bill O'Brien special, which was an incomplete, if there's an incomplete pass on first down, we're like, oh, well, we got to get some positive yardage. So
yes,
Let's run and make it 3rd and 6 instead of like throwing again and potentially getting a first down all in one shot.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's self-defeating stuff that, like, it's been proven for a long time that you shouldn't be doing it that way, but football coaches cling to it for whatever reason.
Yeah, we can't get explosive plays because we haven't been ahead of the chains. Like, if I was just learning about football, I would have been like, okay, so when it's 2nd and 3, that's when the coach wants to go get big 25-yard chunk plays. But when it's 2nd and 18, he's trying to get 7 yards. I don't understand this game.
We're just trying to get the 3rd and 9, man. Just trying to get the 3rd and 9.
Yeah. Oh, my God. All right. Here's one thing I do know. Payne and Pendergast, we are 2 for 2 in our Atlanta Brave voodoo efforts. Charlie Morton. Sorry, Charlie. Charlie Morton in game 1. Yesterday, you guys requested a hex on Jock Peterson. It was successful. So we will ask you in the next segment, who do we turn our voodoo powers towards in Game 3, 713-572-4610. Text in Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
Well, he found something there. Fair, down the line, into the corner, and Altuve starts the night with a double. Jammed. It'll score a run, and a safe all around. 2-1 Houston here in the second. Left side, base hit. Here comes Gurriel. He'll score. Going to third with nobody there is Siri. He pops up, comes to the plate. 2-run score. 4-1. Astros on top. And that's into left. Altuve's got another. 2-2 pitch. That's it. Astros take game 2.
That was the highlight montage. Astros take game 2, 7-2 of the World Series. Series now tied at 1. Day off today. Game 3 Friday. 3 games this weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Games 3, 4, and 5 in Atlanta. National League rules. So it'll be interesting to see what strategy Dusty deploys in the National League ballpark starting tomorrow. Jose Altuve was the one of the guests on the postgame show for Fox. There was a pretty funny exchange between the hosts and Jose Altuve. Here was A-Rod sort of reminding Jose Altuve how tough game one of that series was on him.
Jose, we were talking Alex here. We were talking last night. You striking out twice looking is so unusual for you tonight.
Yeah, but it's Charlie Morton.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's fair.
You're right.
That's a fair point.
Jose Altuve did not crack a smile the whole time. When those guys are all cackling, laughing, you know, Frank Thomas and Big Poppy, they're all like, ah. Jose Altuve's like staring into the camera like it's a hostage video.
He was dead serious. I think, and I mean, it was really funny, and it wasn't like he was trying to be adversarial about it or anything. He just wasn't going to crack a smile. And I think with Altuve, part of it is that I wonder if some part of him thought that like he wanted them to be sure that he was genuinely respecting Charlie Morton. You know, like he takes that stuff very seriously.
Yeah.
When it comes to whenever anybody gives him an avenue to distance himself from the 2017 being better than everybody else scandal, they'll say like, you know, Jose, you know, there's a lot of evidence that shows that you didn't participate. And he'll say, look, I know where you're going with that. And we're a team. Like, we're just that we all support each other and everything. Like, he takes that part of it very, very seriously. And it's just he's such a decent human being, Sean, that I get so angry. I get so angry when I see people besmirch his good name. But anyway, he loves Charlie Morton.
He does. He does. By the way, text in. We're getting some texts. Who do you want Seth and I to place the voodoo curse on for the Braves in game three?
We are not good people. We will wish horrible things upon people. But the way it works on this show, the thing that we kind of stumbled into, it's kind of like the way penicillin was discovered by accident. We realize that by making things up about a certain player, we did it with Charlie Morton. Just text in various things that you think a guy does. Like with Charlie Morton, it was he drives the speed limit in the left lane.
Right,
he calls people champ, stuff like that. It seems to put a hex on them for that night because it worked for Charlie Morton. And then Jock Peterson last night goes 0 for 4 after we did it to him.
With three strikeouts. Like he went 0 for 4 and it 0 for 4 and he's not even putting the ball in play. So we were successful. I mean, I don't think we meant to break Charlie Morton's leg, but sorry.
No, we didn't. We didn't.
Yeah, but it just happened. You know, what are you going to do?
You know what, Sean? That was independent of the actual hex. It was the hex was kicking in. The hex was kicking in and he would have had really a miserable rest of the game. But it was the rest of the.
I like how when you're making the analogy of discovering something by accident, my first thought is champagne and yours is penicillin. I think that's very on brand for both.
Was champagne discovered by accident?
It was. Supposedly in the movie The Rock with Nicolas Cage, which is one of the greatest movies of all time, Sean Connery, Ed Harris, really good movie. The Nicolas Cage's character in the movie, Goodspeed is his name, he talked about how champagne was discovered by accident. So I take that to be fully truthful
sense.
Then. Yeah.
I always heard, like, pretty much any kind of food was discovered by accident, right? Like, at some point, somebody was really hungry or thirsty, or like, I'm drinking it.
A lot of trial and error.
And then there you go. Yeah.
It's okay. Voodoo curse on Joe Buck. That doesn't do the Astros any good. I get it. You guys all hate Joe Buck.
Oh, which, by the way, we were giving early credit to the broadcast team last night for not making any Siri jokes about the Apple personal assistant Siri.
Did we jump
and then
the
lo and behold, in the fourth inning, John Smoltz coughed up some kind of like, how would I look up these stats on Siri? Maybe I'd ask Siri.
Oh, man. Unbelievable. Albies is getting a lot of run on the text page.
Yeah,
who do you want us to put the Payne and Pendergast voodoo curse on this game?
Yeah, I think especially Albies, because once he had that dribbler, it entered my mind immediately when he had that dribbler down the third baseline that Urquidy did the smart thing, because It was Urquidy wasn't going to be able to make the play at first, so he waited for it to potentially roll out of bounds, and it didn't. I thought immediately, all right, Albies. Okay. Albies annoys me a little bit already, and now that hit especially means that he's got a little too much good mojo right now.
I feel like I don't think you did the wrong thing by laying out how we put the voodoo curse on guys by reading texts about
things.
But
now we're getting
they're just picking who they want curses on and sending them in. Ozzie Albies calls your mom hot and hits on her every chance he gets. Very next text, Freddie Freeman calls the HOA on the 6-year-old girl running a lemonade stand in her front yard.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, well, if that's true. Okay, but you know what? Yeah, Freddie Freeman. Freddie Freeman's gotten, he's escaped scrutiny in this. He's the, of all the people that you might want to do in with a curse, it might be Freddie Freeman because everybody points to him as like, oh, he's the heart and soul of the Braves. He's been here since 1893.
Yeah.
Boy, we just love Freddie Freeman. Chipper Jones was all right, but he's got nothing on Freddie Freeman.
Yeah.
Especially now that I know that he calls the HOA on the little girls. Probably not just the HOA, but he probably calls the taxation authorities.
Right, right.
Like, these girls aren't charging sales tax.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. Have you checked their tax returns to see if they're claiming all of this income at their lemonade stand? Travis Darno is getting some run on here. Albies, it looks like it's coming down to four names. And we'll need to pick one right here and now,
yeah,
Seth.
And we'll do that. We'll put the hex on him tomorrow. Tomorrow. We'll do the hex tomorrow morning.
Okay, we'll do. You want
so
me to
save,
actually,
save all of you.
Do you want me to put a Pender poll up with the four names that we're getting here?
Yeah, let's
do
that.
And let the people pick? Okay.
Yeah.
The four names based on the preliminary run here, and I'll put the Pender poll up during the break, that tomorrow we will place the Payne and Pendergast Voodoo Hex on are Ozzie Albies, Freddie Freeman, Ian Anderson, and Rosario. Those are the four that are getting the most run on the text page.
Yeah.
So I'll let the people choose.
It's a little too sometimes I feel like putting the hex on the starting pitcher. Because remember, we didn't know we were putting the hex on Charlie Morton. That
right.
was by accident.
We stumbled into it.
Sometimes I feel like putting the hex on the starting pitcher of the opposing team is almost like not trusting the lineup enough.
Mm.
So I'd like to feel like they don't need to put a hex on the starting pitcher. They'll take care of that themselves.
I don't think you'll need to worry because I don't think he's going to win. I don't think Ian Anderson will win the poll. If I had to predict, I would say Freddie Freeman wins the poll. That's my prediction.
Yeah, yeah.
Big name. And we're getting confirmation. In France, the first sparkling champagne was created accidentally. The pressure in the bottle led it to be called, quote, the devil's wine, le vin du diable. I took 5 years of French.
As opposed to just good old normal wine that never makes me do anything stupid.
The devil's wine, yeah. As bottles exploded or corks popped. At the time, bubbles were considered a fault. In 1844, Adolf Jacquesson invented the muselet to prevent the corks from blowing out.
Oh, okay. So, muselet is French for that funny-shaped cork.
Yeah, I think so.
I was proud of myself this year because at the age of 46, I think I finally got to the age where I don't kind of wince when I open up a champagne bottle. It's the first time for me to really realize, like, okay, just pop it, and then we're cool.
Can I just tell you that I get anxiety watching the clubhouse celebrations for fear that someone's going to take one right in the eye? I'm dead serious. I'm like, Dusty, get that bottle out of Dusty's hands. He's 72. He's going to hit Jose Altuve right in the eye.
What did Dusty say Julia Morales looked like in the clubhouse celebration?
I don't know.
She came up to him and she said, how do I look? And he said, you look like a wet rooster. And she's like, okay, I'm going to take that as a compliment.
I can see it with the bright red hair.
But she's redheaded. Yeah.
That's not a cancel moment or anything.
Dusty Baker's the only guy that could get away with calling a woman a wet rooster and have her take it as a compliment.
That's right.
You look like a wet rooster.
Yeah. He's that likable in 2021. All right. Odds on Deshaun Watson being traded. If Vegas knows things, here's how next week plays out. We'll lay out the roadmap next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Seth, the poll is up. I just put it up. Astro fans, as you know, the Payne and Pendergast Voodoo Hex has successfully cursed Charlie Morton in Game 1, Jock Peterson in Game 2. Who do we hex tomorrow for Game 3? And if you're texting in right now, all your Voodoo Hex texts, you know, little factoids that may or may not be true about the guy that we are cursing, save them for tomorrow. We're going to read those tomorrow. We're just picking out who it is we are cursing for Game 3 tomorrow. The four choices, Freddie Freeman, Eddie Rosario, Ian Anderson, Ozzie Albies.
And somebody says that an actual true story about Freddie Freeman is that he had to be rescued from a traffic jam by Chipper Jones.
Okay.
So I don't know what we'll look that true story up tomorrow. Maybe use it. But that sounds about right. He's got that look about him. Looks like some rube that maybe when he's a younger player couldn't figure out how to make a right turn in traffic or something.
Yes, I'm stuck on the shoulder. Chipper, save me.
He had Chipper Jones. Chipper Jones had met him like on draft night or something. So like, hey, buddy, if you ever need something, just let me know and I'll help you.
That's
out.
It. That's yeah. It. Here was Roger Goodell earlier this week on the Deshaun Watson situation. This is from the owners' meetings taking place this week up in New York.
Roger, what can you tell us about the status of the Deshaun Watson investigation and specifically what it is about his case that hasn't risen to the level of putting him on commissioner's exempt list?
There obviously are other I'll call it legal approaches that are being made either through civil cases. Obviously, the police have been investigating also. We don't have all the access to that information at this point in time, and we pride ourselves on not interfering in that. Being cooperative as we can to make sure we get all the facts. But I think that process is still ongoing. And until that process is ongoing and we have enough data and enough information to be able to make a determination of whether he should go on commissioner exempt, we don't feel that we have that necessary information at this point.
All right. So what I hear there, Seth, is that if Deshaun Watson were to get traded to a team tomorrow and they wanted to play him probably not this Sunday, it's Thursday now, but next Sunday, let's say, week 9, that he could play. But there is another shoe that could very well drop on Deshaun Watson here. Like, I don't hear that. Originally, it sounded like the reports were, well, the league's not going to suspend Deshaun Watson. I hear that, and I say the league's not going to suspend Deshaun Watson yet.
Yeah.
That's what I hear.
They also, the league gets put in a bind here, too, with these things when this might drag on for 2 years. So, at what point do you suspend Deshaun Watson, and then after a year, nothing has changed, and then you say like, okay, well, boy, he really shouldn't have been suspended for a year yet. So let's take him off of suspension, and then all of a sudden there's a trial, and it turns out to be worse than what you thought it was. Yep. Then you got to suspend him again, or there's no proper or accurate way to time this the right way, because you do have to take into account innocent until proven guilty. And I know look, the NFL is not a court of law, but there is still like some presumption of innocence when you go into talking about your own employees or your own players. And look, I don't like Goodell. I have no fondness for Roger Goodell. But he is in kind of a tough position here as far as ruling on Deshaun Watson. You got two different ends of the spectrum when it comes to cases like these. You have the Ray Rice scenario, which the NFL completely botched, where the NFL decided to say, sure, it looks like nothing really all that bad did happen here. And it turns out it was actually way worse than what the NFL thought it was. On the other end of the spectrum, though, you've got Duke lacrosse, you know, where in the court of public opinion, people wanted those kids just dragged through the mud before there was any kind of developments into any knowledge or insight into what actually happened. And it turned out that those kids were completely innocent. And so you have to find yourself somewhere between those. Like, how do we balance treating the guy properly but without stepping too far? And just being in this treading water mode is kind of where they have to be right now.
Yeah, I think we should point out that the NFL has interviewed 10 of the accusers. So it raises the question, is Deshaun Watson not on the commissioner's exempt list right now? Forget about suspending him. I could see the league saying, you know what, we're going to wait till we've got all the information from the police and everybody else before we issue the punishment. But as far as putting him on the commissioner's exempt list, I mean, this would seem to be something tailor-made for the commissioner's exempt list, where they just park him, let him sit, get paid while they adjudicate the whole thing. It's one of two things, Seth. Either they've not heard enough from these 10 accusers they've interviewed that raises to the level of putting him on the commissioner's exempt list, or the league is letting the Texans do their dirty work for them, and putting him on the inactive list every week essentially serves the same function as putting him on the commissioner's exempt list.
I mean, for the most part, though, they have waited until the legal process is played out somewhat before they deliver a punishment. So, I mean, like, it might be a nice theory as to what the league is. Oh, but you're talking about commissioner's exempt.
I'm talking about the exempt
list. I got you. I think with the commissioner's exempt list, I think part of it is the timing of all this.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. It is. It's convenient for the NFL right now to not have to do anything about it.
Right.
What are you supposing? That if the Texans did try to play him, then all of a sudden he'd be put on the commissioner's exempt list?
I'm saying it's a possibility. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that I don't think we can ignore that when it comes to what I'm about to touch on, which is the odds of Deshaun Watson getting traded.
Yeah,
I think
if
I were a team that's trading for Deshaun Watson, there would be a part of me that would be concerned that, okay, Deshaun is under center week 9 for us, and he's going to play in an NFL game. And then I would be at least mildly concerned that the league would go, okay, now he's on the commissioner's exempt list. You know, now he can't play.
That'd be such a weak move by Goodell. I almost feel like out of preservation of his own, like it would be showing his hand completely. Like, yeah, I didn't have the balls to really make a decision on this, so I was waiting until I had to make a decision. Which I guess he doesn't care. I mean, he's shown time and time again that he doesn't actually care about doing what's consistent or what's even called for. I mean, the owners flat out stole money for the players once, and the league didn't apologize or look even embarrassed about it. I think the biggest thing is that right now nobody knows what he would do, and nobody knows what's going to happen with the criminal cases. And man, I'm sick of talking about this.
Yeah.
God, I'm just so tired. I wish, like, once this is gone from off the Texans' table, it's going to be such a relief. But I feel guilty even thinking about that, because the very real and serious matter are the allegations of the sexual assault. Go ahead.
Well, let me ask you that, because I think what you're expressing right here is probably real emotion that some other people are feeling about this whole thing.
It's not even emotion. It's just exasperation. I'm just sick of, like trying to play quasi-lawyer about what are Goodell's motivations and how is, what is his strategy here? I don't know.
Do you have a concern that there is a similar exasperation with the Texans? Just the mere specter of this hanging over them. It's probably not the same type of fatigue that you're experiencing with it, of just talking about it. But my guess is there is a fatigue with it following your franchise around, and with Deshaun coming to the building and things like that. It just makes me wonder. The frustration you're expressing right there, I wonder if there's a cousin of that frustration that drives the Texans to say, you know what, two firsts are fine for Deshaun, and let's just get this thing over with.
I don't think Casario has that. I think the bigger danger would be in Cal McNair and Jack Easterby, perhaps.
Yeah.
Starting to feel that way. And it doesn't, I mean, it seems like Jack Easterby is either pretty immune to what people are saying publicly, or he's just that out of touch that he doesn't get, like, how severe the criticism is. I don't know. I think Casario is going to do what he thinks is strategically right,
mm-hmm.
no matter how hard it might be the weather. Look, Casario knew what he was signing up for. with where the like, I think he knew it was going to be ugly this season, no matter what. And that was before he even found out about Deshaun Watson and all this other stuff. So I think he's going to be able to weather the storm. It's just a question of, okay, what is the right way to like, what is the risk that, wait a second, you get to March or April and things are no different and teams still don't want to trade for Deshaun Watson no matter what?
Yeah.
I would guess that maybe the price, or, well, teams don't want to trade for Deshaun Watson. They don't want to trade 3 first-round picks for Deshaun Watson unless the legal situation's resolved. I would guess that there's still a pretty good offer out there at that point.
Mm-hmm.
If the legal situation is stuck exactly where it is right now, then probably in March or April, worst case scenario, okay, yeah, you say that's enough, fine. We'll take 2 first-round picks, or we'll take 1 first-round pick and a couple active players. So I think that's why Caserio can afford to be – can hold his water right now.
Yeah, well, and I think the fact that Deshaun would cost $35 million to have on your roster next year as opposed to $10 million this year weighs heavily into that too.
Somebody's pointing out that Goodell suspended Zeke even though the police said nothing criminal. Right. I'm not saying that – and they did the same thing with Roethlisberger, where Roethlisberger wasn't charged eventually, but they still punished him. I'm saying they wait until it's over to deliver the punishment. I'm not saying that they wait until there's a conviction or that somebody's found liable. I'm saying they wait until the actual process is over. And until that point, the guy might be on commissioner's exempt list.
Someone says, what's taking the cops so long? Hell, NCIS can knock that out in 30 minutes. Jeez.
Yeah, I think that that's where I think like TV crime dramas have spoiled us a little bit. There's two things. Is we think that things get resolved in 60 to 90 minutes,
right,
and we also think that there's DNA evidence everywhere.
Right.
But it's as simple as, like, well, you know, run the DNA through the whatever. There you go.
Yep. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Darren Revelle will join us in about 45 minutes or so, right, Ben?
Sean,
yeah, Revelle, okay.
You know what's crazy? Was just watching some of the OJ stuff. They recapped everything because of the anniversary.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's that it's weird to think that it wasn't that long ago that DNA evidence will like had to be explained to the public and everything.
Yeah,
like there was still like that was still in the infancy of it all, and it terrifies you when you think about it. Was like before DNA, like how easy it was to just to get convictions without DNA. Now it's gone the other way, where sometimes I know jurors think, like, well, there's no DNA evidence, and like prosecutors will be like, well, yeah, I mean, it's not, it's actually kind of hard to get the DNA evidence and everything. But back then it was like people had to be explained exactly how DNA worked.
It was crazy. So you were watching what is it, the anniversary? Is it the anniversary of the verdict? Right?
No, I'm talking about like a year ago when all that
came out. I thought you meant like this past week you were watching.
No. Was it the 25th year anniversary?
It was June. Well, it was June of 94 was when the Bronco chase was.
So maybe I'm thinking of 2 years. Well,
Some of the OJ content they put out there is very rewatchable. The 30 for 30 thing they did.
No,
was
incredible. But there was, I guess, a couple years ago. It must have been the 25th anniversary. Was when there were like 3 different documentaries all came out at once.
Did you like the documentaries, or did you like the ones where they hired actors to play people involved, like Cuba Gooding Jr. playing O.J. Simpson and stuff like that?
I like the documentaries. I didn't like the one where David Schwimmer was playing the Kardashian dad.
Yes, yeah.
There. I didn't like that at
all. Yeah, who was John Travolta was in that too? Was John Travolta Robert Shapiro? I think so.
John Travolta, that sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah, Cuba Gooding Jr. as O.J. Simpson I just couldn't get into because I felt like it was Rod Tidwell. It felt like Rod Tidwell was playing O.J. Simpson.
He's a receiver, not a running back.
Jerry Maguire, right. He played for the Cardinals.
And also, O.J. Simpson's 6'2". Cuba Gooding Jr. is like 5'3". Like, no amount of lifts and camera angles are going to do it for me there.
Is Cuba Gooding Jr. like a really short guy?
I don't know. I don't think he's short. But he's not one of the actors that you think of as a bigger guy.
No.
Right?
Well, and all these Hollywood people are like 4 inches shorter than you think they are.
If they'd had like Denzel or somebody playing O.J., then I'd be like, oh no, yeah, Cuba Gooding's 5'10". But he doesn't strike you as an O.J. Simpson stature.
No.
There are other guys who are 5'10" that I would feel more like, oh yeah, that's an O.J. Simpson.
I wouldn't want
Denzel to play O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
And obviously not any made for TV movie either.
Yeah. No.
I feel like he's a little bit above that, Sean. All right, I'm gonna go Mike Tomlin on behalf of Denzel Washington.
Like, I don't know where the movie.
Nobody's asking Robert De Niro if he wants to play O.J. Simpson.
Dude, I don't know where the movie industry is these days. You know,
that's true. Made for TV isn't it? It's like, yeah, lots of really good actors do made for TV stuff.
Yeah. It's an industry in flux.
I don't even know what television is really. I haven't watched television on my actual television in ages. I watch my favorite TV shows. I all watch on my phone and my computer.
I know it's crazy. We should mention too. We haven't mentioned it much today. J.J. Watt out for the season with a shoulder injury. He actually suffered the injury against the Texans on Sunday. Played through it. We saw that picture of him and DeAndre walking off the field, yucking it up with each other. Apparently he was yucking it up with a bad shoulder injury because he needs surgery now and he's going to be done for the year. That's four seasons of the last, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 of the last 6 seasons now, Seth, that JJ's season is over more than less than halfway through the season.
Well, and then in a fifth season would be when he was injured and he was put on IR for the entire regular season, but he came back for the playoffs.
I'm counting too. That one.
Oh, you are counting that one. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just talking
about it was a regular season-ending surgery. I wonder if in this situation, if there's any chance of that, depending on what the surgery is. Have you seen any mention of him potentially being back?
Yeah, there was Mike Garofalo, however he pronounces it, of the NFL Network said that they're going to look at it again, but it looks like surgery is going to be the solution. It's likely his season is over, but it's not finalized yet.
Right. I mean, because with his pec, you have surgery for that too, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And he still came back. Yeah.
Yeah. Against all odds. All right. We head into the 9 o'clock hour. We'll give you the update on who you guys want the voodoo hex placed on for the Astros and the unlikely hero from last night. Actually, 3 of them. And they all share the same name. That's next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.